He's here. It's the Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio. Hello, Food Mensch. Should I say
hi,
Arthur Schwartz?
Hi.
If anyone doesn't know by now that Arthur Schwartz is the Food Mensch, I throw my hands up.
Used to be formerly known as the Food Maven. I'm not sure
formerly
why
known
Goodman
as.
Doesn't
All right.
like Food Maven, but that was it for many years. Anyway, I have pie on the brain. It is Thanksgiving, and that's what happens to you at Thanksgiving. I one of these days I'll research this and find out how pie became associated with Thanksgiving, or Thanksgiving associated with pie, whichever way it goes. I have one theory, is that pie is not easy. Even though we have the expression easy as pie, it is not easy. And so if you're going to go fuss over something, why not be pie on Thanksgiving when you are willing to fuss? So I don't know. These days, I'm happy to spend $35 on somebody else's pie, meaning we have some good bakeries near me that make great pie, but you got to pay for it. But it is not easy. So, sidebar, there was a recipe in the New York Times, I think just within the last couple weeks, that I had to make, and it was billed as easy as pie, apple cake. Well, as Melissa Clark, who published the recipe, points out, no pie is easy. This was an easy-ish apple cake. I can get to that later. Meantime, thinking about pie, my main pie would be, of course, pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving. And I haven't made this in just a couple of years, but for literally decades, I was making a recipe originally of James Beard's. I don't know if I've altered this at all, but it's a very rich pumpkin custard, baked in a pie shell, of course. Let me call up this recipe so I don't mislead you, so to speak. But the difference between this rich pumpkin pie, and it is very rich, and others, is that it has a sizable amount of cognac. Now, I have everything I need except the cognac, and I guess I'm going to go out and buy some because I'm now thinking about the pie. It makes me have to have the pie. And this was a pie that I learned, I don't know, probably when I was in college and made for many years. Of course, it was the cognac that drew me in, but it is a really rich, nice pumpkin pie. So the mixture is very, very simple, as it is with most pumpkin pies. However, I know some people are going to groan over this, but you do not need to make your own pumpkin puree. James Beard himself said it was okay to use canned pumpkin. And I have to say, canned pumpkin is one of those ingredients that I don't mind using either. I make soup with it sometimes. I do a number of things with canned pumpkin that have nothing to do with Thanksgiving. But anyway, so this calls for 2 cups of, one cup of pureed pumpkin, and you can get that out of a can. 3 large eggs. I say large because that makes the right quantity. If you only have jumbo eggs, use 2. A cup of heavy cream. There you go, Rich. 1/4 teaspoon of salt. I hope, as they used to say, you have pencil and paper at hand. 1/3 cup of sugar. I'll repeat the ingredients. And then you have to have the seasoning, which is 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/8 teaspoon of ground cloves. You can leave that out if you really want to. 1/8 teaspoon of nutmeg. I always like freshly ground, and 1/8 teaspoon does the trick. You can have a little bit more if you like. And then this is something, I keep these in the house, preserved ginger slices, candied ginger. And this calls for 1/4 cup of very finely slivered candied ginger. I guess that's the other ingredient that drew me into this pie. And 1/4 cup of cognac. To repeat, to this, a cup of pureed pumpkin, you're going to use 3 large eggs, 1 cup of heavy cream, a quarter teaspoon of salt, a third of a cup of sugar, a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, an eighth of a teaspoon of ground cloves, if you like, an eighth of a teaspoon of nutmeg, don't leave that out, and or even a little more than that, an eighth of a teaspoon, and a quarter of a cup of finely slivered candied ginger. By the way, candied ginger is not an exotic ingredient. I see it all over the place. And a quarter of a cup of cognac. Now, if you don't have cognac, you could do this with bourbon. It would be very, very good and actually more American because bourbon is an American spirit. And if you really want to, rye whiskey, any alcohol like that, brown alcohol. Cognac or other brandy, I should say, would be my top choice. Anyway, that all goes into a blind-baked pastry shell, and at 375 degrees, and for at least 30 minutes, 35 minutes, could be 40 minutes. It depends on your oven, really. But the indication that it's done is that it will be puffed up rather evenly, actually, and the center will no longer be jiggly. If it's ever so slightly jiggly, put it back in for a couple more minutes. That's it. Let it cool. Beard said you could serve this warm, but I actually prefer it at room temperature. And, of course, you could finish it off with some whipped cream. That wouldn't hurt. To blind bake a pastry shell, now, these days I might likely buy a really good one. I have some couple of brands that I like. You line the pastry shell with a piece of aluminum foil, tin foil, and then some weight. I actually have a jar of pastry beans, meaning beans that I only use to weight down and pre-bake, blind bake a pastry. That goes into a 425 degree oven. Usually, 10 minutes will do it, and then take off the foil and put it back in for another 5 minutes, and that's it. That pastry shell is good for so many different things. Pie. So I have to say, when I think of Thanksgiving, and I think of pie, I think of a pie that does not exist anymore, as far as I know, called Nestle Road Pie. Do you have any recollection of Nestle Road Pie, Jill?
I thought so, no.
No. It is a really New York City thing. I discovered this when I was writing New York City Food, where, by the way, there's an essay on Nestle Road Pie, the whole history, which I'm going to sort of give to you right now. But when I was a kid, we used to buy Nestle Road Pie from a bakery that only a few years ago closed for good, called Mrs. Maxwell on Atlantic Avenue in the East New York section of Brooklyn. And for Thanksgiving, my father would drive across Brooklyn, because we didn't live in that part of Brooklyn anymore, but he grew up in that area of Brooklyn. We would drive across Brooklyn to go to Mrs. Maxwell's for Nestle Road Pie, coconut custard pie, and only for my Aunt Honey, a pumpkin pie. She was the only person I remember really liking pumpkin pie enough that my father would buy her a whole pie, and chocolate pudding pie, which was always my favorite. Nowadays, I still love chocolate pudding pie, and fortunately, there's a bakery in my neighborhood that does it pretty well, and they even make little tartlets, so I don't have to commit to a whole pie of chocolate pudding and whipped cream, although talking about it makes me want to commit to a whole pie of chocolate pudding and whipped cream. Chocolate pudding is one of my favorite things. So we used to go there, and Nestle Road Pie had its heyday in the 40s and 50s. It was baked by a woman named Hortense Speer, and she had a restaurant on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and when she had to close that, I forget for what reason, the war probably, she started baking pies and just selling pies. And the truck went around the whole city delivering these pies to restaurants, to other retail outlets, They were all over. I think you could not go to a steakhouse in the 50s or 60s without it having Nestle Road pie on the menu, Mrs. Spears Nestle Road pie. Many years later, I guess it was the 1980s, a dear departed friend, Ruth Epstein, who did restaurant public relations in Manhattan but eventually became a consultant and developed a dessert menu for the Assembly Steakhouse in New Jersey, which I think still exists. The Assembly thought that having, you know, the old-time desserts would attract some new customers, and in fact it did. And so Ruth developed a recipe for Nestle Road pie and for coconut custard pie, and I'm going to make the coconut custard pie real soon. It was my father's favorite pie, and even though I know I'm not going to get it for Thanksgiving, that doesn't mean I can't have a good coconut custard pie. I'm sure Ruth's recipe works very well, too. She was a very precise person. And, in fact, I have it right here, the coconut custard. All right. Well, I'm not going to do the coconut custard because what I really want to do is this apple cake that Melissa Clark called Easy as Pie apple cake. And it's where she points out that pie is never that easy if you do it right. So this cake intrigued me. It's just diced apples in a batter that has no leavening. It has a quarter of a teaspoon of baking soda in it, but somehow I didn't count that as leavening. I still don't. I've made this cake twice, and it is easy as pie apple cake. However, I screwed it up the second time. The first time I followed the recipe precisely, as I do. It's my want when the first time I'm making the recipe, and then I'm trusting the person who was publishing the recipe. In this case, it was the New York Times and Melissa Clark, who actually got the recipe from a website called Food 52 Baking, which is also a trustworthy site. In any case, it's just a batter and diced apples. Now, the second time, I used too many apples. I had two apples, and I diced it up, and it came out to more than the 2 cups of apple that the recipe called for. And I said, oh, well, what the hell? And I put it all in, and that was a mistake because the batter-to-apple ratio was off. And in the end, I ended up with a more pudding-like texture than I wanted. Not to say it wasn't delicious. It was. But it was too wet. So here's the recipe. Now, it's a super easy recipe, except that the one thing I didn't want to do here, according to the directions, is use my stand-up mixer and do any part of this recipe. I did it in one bowl with one wooden spoon, and it worked out fine without pulling out my mixer. If you have one on the counter and you don't mind cleaning an extra bowl, here it goes. Anyway, the dry ingredients are a cup of unbleached all-purpose flour, and then it says something more is needed. I don't know what that meant. A quarter of a teaspoon of baking soda, and a quarter of a teaspoon, I used a little more, of salt. She specifies kosher salt, I use sea salt, all the same to me. Anyway, that's the dry ingredients. So measure them out, keep them in a bowl, mix it all up. The other ingredients are a half a stick of butter. I let my butter get to room temperature, with 1 cup of granulated sugar, normal sugar, one teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon. I actually used a rounded 1/4 teaspoon of freshly grated nutmeg. And in the end, I thought, you know what? That was a good idea because I really liked the nutmeg background flavor. And 1 large egg. And what you need to do with your wooden spoon is cream together the softened butter and the cup of sugar. Once they're really well blended and well creamed, it's still going to be granular. Add a teaspoon of vanilla, the teaspoon of cinnamon, the rounded 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg, and the large egg. and keep on mixing until it's really quite smooth. Then add 2 cups of diced apples. Now, as I said, I use too many, so don't use too many. It'll come out great. Now, I bake this, as the recipe suggested, in a tart pan, you know, one of those one-inch high fluted pans. Mine has a removable bottom, so once the whole thing is baked, you can just easily push it out of the ring. And you need to butter and flour this pan. Now, if you don't have a tart pan or a quiche pan, whatever you want to call it, you can use just any 9-inch pan. Could be even to get it out easily, it could even be a springform pan. And it gets baked in a 350-degree oven for, I would say, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. Let's say 40 minutes. It's gonna be quite nice and browned. The recipe says it should a toothpick inserted in the center of the cake comes out clean. Well, it's pretty moist, so I wouldn't so much count on that. You know what? The second time around, I made it for a full 45 minutes because it was so moist. So you have to judge. It'll be nice and brown on top. And then you want to let it cool in that pan for at least 10 minutes, if not more. And then it'll come out quite easily, even though it's a fluted pan. So this is easier than baking an apple pie. And I must say, with the flavorings were terrific. And I like the crunchy parts, which I got the first time around, but didn't get so much the second part because I used too many apples. So anyway, back to Thanksgiving pie. My chocolate pudding that I use to make a chocolate pudding pie is the chocolate pudding I use to make one of my favorite all-time cakes, blackout cake. Now, blackout cake has become national. I see it all over the country as Brooklyn cake or Brooklyn chocolate cake, or sometimes they'll actually say Brooklyn blackout cake. It was a specialty of Ebinger's, the famous Brooklyn Queens bakery. Lasts only in memory now. Anyway, Ebinger's made this cake, which was a chocolate layer cake, filled with chocolate pudding and iced with chocolate pudding. Most of the imitations, like even the one that I like here in Park Slope at Two Red Hens, even that is made with buttercream on the outside. But the original was the same thick pudding that was inside, and it covered all together with cake crumbs. In fact, when I make it, and there is a recipe for it in New York City Food, still in print, by the way, if I may plug it, Arthur Schwartz's New York City Food. This blackout cake is now famous in southern Italy, too, because my friend Cecilia has made it and shared the recipe with other people, and so it's getting around, this cake. It's really, really good cake, but it is a production. You make 2 layers, and then you split them in half. And it's a 3-layer cake with the 4th layer that you saved being made into crumbs that you have to put on the outside of the cake. But I often make just the pudding itself and pour that into could even be a graham cracker crust. It doesn't have to be a pastry crust or a cookie crust of any kind, even a chocolate cookie crust, and then topped with whipped cream. Give me some right now. And my pudding, by the way, is strictly a cornstarch pudding. It's not doesn't have eggs in it.
One of the things that I was, and this is years old, did blackout cake change, your blackout whatever change? Because my recollection let's just say many years ago, was that it was far more chocolatey than more recent iterations.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the only recent iteration I have is the one that is baked in my neighborhood, and I have no problem with that one. In fact, they also make blackout cupcakes, and I am more likely to actually buy the cupcakes because they can't be trusted with a whole cake. and they're really chocolatey. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't tasted that many iterations. Only a few.
All right. Thank you so much, always.
You're most welcome. My final word is to hell with the turkey, where the side dishes and the pie. Save room for pie.
That should be a slogan. We should march. Save room for pie.
Save room for pie.
All right.
All right, my dear. My dear is plural.
Lots of love to you and to Bob, and we thank you so much.
Happy feasting.
This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.